anyone has anything on their mind, please feel free to speak up. Yes, Jordan.
So we've been talking about mindfulness practices.
Yeah.
During mindfulness, like in on a day-to-day basis, would you recommend something like, so you become mindfully aware in the moment, like different techniques to maintain that mindfulness? Something like, you know, during meditation you talk about, you know, focusing on the breath or the tip of the nose, and then still having that awareness around that. Would you recommend trying to get some sort of breath focus as kind of an anchor in the moment, or say like a labeling practice in the moment, or even a mantra, or something that keeps one fixed in the moment, or do you see those as having, more distractive?
Yes, having something that brings you back to the present moment is it's a very good idea. You know, when you do walking meditation, your awareness and your intention are encompassing quite a bit, but you're using the sensations of walking as an anchor to keep you in the present. And so you always have something to come back to if your mind takes off. So you can do that. You can use the breath, and absolutely use the breath, but you don't need to always use the breath. You can use other things as well. In general, what I have always found works really well is the physical sensations that you're experiencing. Because they, you know, they happen and they're gone. They're instantly. And I mean, even a sound that continues is really a whole lot of small sounds that just happen and then pass away. Same thing, physical sensations and things like that. So, whenever you're not sure whether you're present or not, or whether you're trying to find that ground, your physical sensations are going to bring you right to here, to now. You can use that. And then from there you can, you know, expand your awareness to and what's happening in my mind. What am I feeling right now? And you know, what are my motivations for whatever it is that I'm doing and feeling, both overt and covert. So, and feel free to improvise. Whatever you find works for you to bring you into this present moment, to help you recognize whether you're in it or not. Also, since a part of mindfulness is learning to have an awareness that's not too constricted and not too contracted, you know, having something that you are aware of even while you're attending to something that you must attend to. So that can be the breath. So you just practice being aware of your anchor, whatever it is, at the same time you're being mindful of what's going on around you and within you. Is this addressing the issues that you were... Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Good evening. That's a good question. How's mindfulness going? Are you mindful right now? Yeah, good.
Generally feel a lot more mindful on Thursday nights.
That's great. Yeah. Yes.
Well, I really appreciated what you said last week about not being able to be mindful of everything. So oftentimes I would sort of think that I was being mindful, and then I would realize that this whole other thing was happening that I was completely oblivious to. Mm-hmm. And I would think, oh, I wasn't mindful at all. So there was you know, this certain sense of grace that, well, I was mindful of something, you know.
Yes.
Maybe not this huge thing, but...
A very important aspect of the present moment, and one that is constantly changing from moment to moment, is the overall field of what it is that you have some degree of conscious awareness of. And that is that's going to be contracting and expanding and shifting. Actually, when your attention shifts, so does this field of all of the background stuff that you're aware of tend to shift. And when you become more focused on one thing, that background field of awareness tends to contract. And then you sort of rely, we're all the time doing this, right? We're zooming in and zooming out, to just simply become aware of what's actually happening in the mind. It's a very important aspect of mindfulness. So, and the fact is that you cannot take in everything. You just simply can't. And it's very interesting, when you have no other demands on your attention for a few minutes, to just say, just remind yourself of that and experience that, and also to see if through your practice you're able to take in maybe more or take in the same amount but with greater clarity and vividness of perception than before. Because this is something that really does change as you practice. Is you will find, if you take those moments to say, okay, how much of this incredible world of events that I'm immersed in moment to moment, how much of it can I take in? And to notice that sometimes you have the ability to take in more than other times. And also, really important measure of that is that clarity. And it's something to observe, that, okay, the things in my peripheral vision, the sounds, and in a way, I do this. In a way, it's kind of it's a funny game. I have never found quite the right way to describe it. Although what it reminds me of is a dog chasing his tail. If you want to see what it is that you're aware of and not aware of course, naturally your attention moves to explore. And wherever your attention goes, well, you're really aware of that. But then you can know that, well, yeah, I wasn't really aware of that at all, though, a minute ago until I started looking around. So. And just play around with, relax your awareness, just let it open up and see how much you can take in. And then focus in on something and see what happens to everything that you were able to take in a moment ago.
What about times when one is so incredibly busy just performing tasks that need mm-hmm. to be done? And there are sometimes periods where I'm aware at mm-hmm. some point that I've been totally unaware
yes.
of myself, of where I am, and it's not in a creative way, that's a yeah. whole other thing, but just doing stuff.
Yes. Well, there are those things that we do that they really require all of our attention. We just don't really have anything, or don't have very much left over. And then there's those times that we don't need to be so immersed in it, but we are anyway, just largely out of habit.
Yeah.
So, were you speaking more of the first or the second?
I'm speaking of times when things just absolutely have to be done.
Yes.
And days sometimes will go by, my goodness, I'm a machine.
That's right. And we all have those, this that we need to do that takes all of our attention, and as soon as that's done, there's the next thing.
Yes.
As soon as that's done, there's the next thing. And there are certain kinds of tasks, like one that I've been doing a lot of lately is writing. And when you write, you have to get immersed in it.
Absolutely.
And, there's just no way around it. But you can still keep practicing some degree of mindful awareness. When I'm writing, I know that I'm absorbed. And I'm aware of the flickering into and out of my awareness of people coming and going, or birds outside of the window, or things like that. And so I do try to always keep that thread. And when I say thread, I mean there's a continuity to that. And it's very much like when you're doing meditation practice. The thread can be broken. as in my example of writing, I have a sentence and it's not working and I need to find, you know, rearrange it this way, rearrange it that way, what makes it flow. And that's the point at which I'm at the greatest danger of losing the thread of being aware of that. But the one thread I can keep is that I know that this is happening. I know that I'm becoming absorbed to that degree. And so that the interesting thing about that kind of awareness is in those moments, it's extremely clear that there's one kind of mental process, the thoughts and the concepts, that, and that's the part that's focused on the arranging the structure of the sentence. But this, it makes it, the contrast with the other kind of awareness makes it really super apparent. The other kind of awareness is really, it's non-specific. It involves no thought. It's really, I can't say it's concept-free, but it's largely non-conceptual. It is just an awareness. And when I hold those two in my mind at the same time, I become really aware of the contrast. And this is why I can tell you with certainty, there are two different ways our minds know. And they both function at the same time. And it's in those instances that the contrast between them makes that so very, very apparent. And then you can carry that awareness over into other situations where things that are not so totally engrossing, and you're aware that you have this more global, holistic, bottom-up, doesn't involve thinking, not very conceptual kind of this larger awareness. And it's an awareness that whatever is in it is taken as kind of a whole in the moment. And the other kind is it zeroes in and it's focused and it takes things apart and, you know, and it's top down. It's, you know, it's top down in two different senses of the word. One is that it's often driven by intention. You know, you intend to focus on something, or you intend to do this particular task, and so the movements of your attention moment by moment over a period of half an hour it takes to complete the task are directed by this overriding intention to do the task. So this other kind of focused top-down awareness is intentional in that regard. The other way in which it is intentionally directed is that it has to do with you and your mind as a focal point. You know, this is somewhere in this is where our sense of self is. That other awareness doesn't really, you know, that open awareness, it doesn't have a lot of self in it. It just is. It's there. You know, the background, I'm looking at you, I'm listening to my own words as I speak, but this awareness of the other people in the room and the colors of the floor and the feeling of the air and the sounds from the other room, you know, it's only when I turn my attention to them, it's only when the dog starts chasing his tail that they separate from each other and they become sounds or colors or something like that. When I'm not doing that, they have this remarkable wholeness to them. That's the best way I can describe it. So, your question, just to backtrack a little bit, your question is how do you maintain some of that awareness when you have so much focused attention, and you have to. And I'm saying that the very least you can do is know that in this moment, what is happening is focus. And that's different than letting go of what you're focusing on and shifting your attention and saying, ah, I'm really focused on this thing right now. Because that's that same top-down kind of thing. It's that background awareness of this is what's happening. This is the isness of this moment. You know, the engrossment is, it's a part of the whole. And it may be the part of the whole that you're focused on, but it's still, there's still the whole.
That's helpful.
Is that helpful?
Yeah.
Good. And practicing mindfulness in your daily life, it's very rewarding. It's very satisfying. It's fulfilling. It makes... it makes your life feel really full and satisfying. The more really present that you are, the more fully you have lived. And to sustain that is its own reward. Anything else? I wonder where everybody else is tonight.
Chased off by the cold.
That's it.
Tucson cold.
Now, they were here when it was a lot colder than it is tonight. They're all Christmas shopping.
That's some fireworks going around, too.
Oh, that's right.
That's
yeah.
Right, yeah. Two different thoughts, but whichever. What you were just saying about the satisfying, one thing that I have noticed kind of on the flip side is in being mindful, I'm aware of all these like very strange and minute negative things. Mm-hmm. Like I'll walk into a room and see a certain like grain of wood.
Yes.
And just have this really strange like, you know, sudden moment of despair that will then pass. Mm-hmm. You know, but I catch a lot of those.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's interesting, and I guess it opens me up to those, and no, it's just something that struck me. I guess the other, more of a question thing that I have was in meditation, in that moment of, I haven't been aware, you often talk about, you know, bringing a certain appreciation and just kind of an awareness of that. And in doing so, and kind of really exploring what is that, what is the feeling, what is the experience of that, that momentary awakening. One of the things that increasingly stood out to me is almost a sense of when I kind of enter into that that awareness. I mean, there's that certain opening, and it feels kind of like an opening to that more global awareness that you talked about. And there's almost a sense of like a majesty or a regalness about it. Like almost like I feel like a king on a throne. And part of it is just the sense of just, I don't know, maybe the glory of that little awakening. Mm-hmm. But part of it's also that I'm dedicating so much effort to maintaining my focus that when I'm in that place, I have so much more ability to keep that focus. You know, and so it's all, there is an element of like, of added control. You know, like I have better control of myself when I'm in this moment. I can catch thoughts that are arising. I can mm-hmm. I can redirect my attention back to whatever my focus is, and so there's a power that yes. arises through that. And I guess I'm wondering, on the one hand, that it does feel good, and I'm wondering if it's also a potential trap, if there's a problem there, because we often talk about dangers of control. And
yes, well, there is a feeling of power there. And there is a very important element of control in this too. It's only potentially a trap, or can only be approached from an unwholesome viewpoint when you construct it in terms of an I. Let me try something out on you, okay? Because this is what these experiences are to me. When I'm more absorbed in one thing to the exclusion of others, it's like there's one part of my mind with its priority that is dominating the collective of my mind. And when I come into presence, it's like we are all together now. And so who is it that has the power? It's not an I. It's not an I in the sense that we would tend to think that some one part of the collective that is our mind is the true I, the executive. But it's rather, oh, we're all together now. Oh, we, you know, it's the same thing as that I think we experience with other human beings. Sometimes even with only one, but sometimes with larger groups. When we feel that cohesiveness, like we're all on the same track together. And that's the quality that I find in these moments of becoming fully present and fully aware. And that's the terms that I like to think of it in, because it's not necessarily so healthy if you think of it in terms of, oh, I, the king of my mind, I'm now this misbehaving mind, I'm in control of it now for a few minutes. Because it's not really that. It's now the mind, for a moment, has come into a kind of synchronous harmony. You know, we're all on the same page of the symphony, playing our different parts. So that's my comment to that. You said there was something else?
No, that was me.
Oh, that was it.
The other piece was just the mindfulness of all those negative, subtle negativities that arise.
Yes. That is, as you become more mindful, this is part of the richness that mindfulness brings to your experiences, is your experience is this interwoven tapestry, you know, like in a weaving with two sets of threads going other directions. One set of threads is those external phenomena that impinge upon your senses and that are delivered into consciousness. And the other set of threads going the other way, which is interwoven with them, are all of the mind's reaction to it. You know, from the, including the barest perception, the liking or disliking, you know, and the stronger emotional reactions that come from that. And this is what every moment is made up of. You know, in your body in this moment, there are exquisitely pleasant sensations and rather uncomfortable sensations. And they're all there at the same time. And you are simultaneously experiencing, in that more global awareness that I was talking about, those are present. Those are present at the same time and they make a single fabric. But you can focus in on each one of them and you say, oh, well, there's the sore place in my elbow, and there's that nice feeling of the air on my skin, or whatever it happens to be. So it's about time for us to do our meditation.